morning. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this fourth Sunday after Epiphany. There are a few announcements for you. One, Lent is coming. And if you're not aware, Lent is on Valentine's Day this year. So we will be having a 7 p.m. Ash Wednesday service, but if that interferes with your romantic plans, I will be giving ashes to go at the Glenshaw Presbyterian Church in their parking lot with Reverend Emily Cooper from 12 to 1 and 5 to 6. So there's that. Lenten devotionals will be printed, and they will be available no later than the 11th, the Sunday before Ash Wednesday. If you prefer an electronic version, please get in touch. The devotionals that I've ordered, for some reason, don't have an electronic version, but I have plenty of other options. So if you prefer an electronic version, I can get that for you. We will also start a Lenten Sunday School series starting on the 11th, so not next week, but the week after. It's going to be fun. It's a Lent in plain sight. We're going to be talking about different symbols of the season, and it should be a good time. Next thing I would like, if you could please return your pledge cards by next week. If you can't make a pledge right now, that's fine. It just really helps us for planning for the coming year. And we're going to be praying over all of the pledge cards next week. Carol, make sure I see you so that we can. Yes, please. Okay, that's fine. But yeah, we'll get together. And
that's next week.
Next week, please. Yeah, fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It seems as though the interest in the Wednesday afternoon Bible study has sort of waned, so we're going to cancel it for right now, and we'll revisit it again at another time. I wanted to give you some updates on some prayer requests we've had. AJ's daughter Tweets is still in the hospital. She was stepped down from ICU to a regular telemetry room. We're waiting back for another set of cultures to come back negative, and then she should be able to go home. But things are looking so much better than the last time that we went through this. Yes. And I did go see Bev Ruby. She has been moved to rehab at Passavant. She's doing well. She looks so much better. Her face is no longer black and blue. And she's tired. They're working her hard in physical therapy. You know, she seems good. We don't know when she'll go home, but I'll keep you abreast of what's going on. The final announcement is that in your bulletin you will notice that the scripture is Jonah. That was what the scripture was last week, but the correct scripture is Mark 12, 38 through 44. And people who proofread these things. I'm the one that proofreads it. So that's my fault. But yeah, the scripture will still be up there. It's correct on the screen and everything else. So, any other announcements? Anything I'm forgetting?
We should mention about the roof.
Oh yeah, we have a little leak right outside this door. A couple of tiles fell down, like on the, you know, entryway to that, yeah. A couple of tiles fell down. They're sopping wet. We had the roofers come over on Friday with their drone, and they looked at it. There's some, like, rubber stuff missing. We're working on getting it fixed. That's what I got for you. Okay. Anything else?
Directories.
If you, don't forget, the new directories are back there. If you could just sign that you've received yours, we just want to make sure that we know who's got them. And, you know, don't give out that, that's proprietary information. Don't give out the list of things, please. Okay. Then family, let us gather and proclaim our readiness to connect with God with our call to worship. Can you imagine unfettered love, free and bold, wild and true, the kind of love that changes you? Can you imagine a world where peace is the narrative and hope the currency? A world where news stories are testimonies and funerals are far between. Can you imagine? Yes, we can imagine. Today in worship, dare to dream. Dare to imagine what could be. Pay attention, for God is here in wandering thoughts, hopes, and prayers. Let us worship Holy God, that great unfettered love. Please rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, We Exalt Thee. Confess our sins to the one who sacrificed for us and waits in mercy to forgive. God of grace, you invite us to dream of a better world, but instead we bury our heads in the sand. We are afraid to recognize how much must change. We are afraid because if we knew the truth, then we have a job to do. Instead, we maintain the status quo. We passively allow things to stay the same. We don't speak out, We don't imagine a new day. We don't dream of a world without racism, sexism, bigotry, or shame. Instead, we allow ourselves to believe that some things will never change. Forgive us. Show us the way. Teach us to dream. Teach us to imagine again. This is the word of the Lord. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven by God and free to imagine a new life. Friends, let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. Let us now lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and for one another. God of new visions, eternal yet immediate, beyond yet near, we praise you for all that you have made, for grace that amazes, for mercy that cleanses, and for love that never lets us go. Hear our prayers. Our shouts and our sighs, our whispers and our cries, and that which we can only speak deep, deep within. Hear our prayers, for we long for all to be well, for all to be right, for all to be whole. Comfort the sick and encourage those who strive to heal them. Hold the mournful and grant them peace that passes understanding. We especially pray for AJ's daughter Tweety following kidney surgery and for Bev Ruby in rehab at Pass Event. We ask that you enlighten our leaders and give them a vision that promotes the common good. Shelter those reeling from stormy blasts. Sustain those starting on new adventures. Satisfy those who hunger and thirst for justice. We pray for teachers and for students, for parents and children, for caregivers and care receivers, for gifts of knowledge and wisdom passed one to another. Refresh your church. Give us a creative spirit as we reimagine together sharing life and ministry. Renew our commitment to using well your abiding gifts of faith, hope, and love. You have shown us in Jesus an example of courageous compassion and risky generosity and bold truth-telling. Help us to follow in his way so that we might know the fullness of life you intend for us all. God of each day and all days, hear us, hold us, and keep us for the sake of Jesus, our Savior, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation, I've Got a Peace Like a River.
Peace like the river of God made.
Please be seated. So we are still in our stewardship time, and I gave you a week off, but I've been asking some of the elders, some of the leaders of this congregation to share with you why they give, why they serve. And today we have the pleasure of hearing from Clara Kaler, and come on up and you can do it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've been a member of this church for a long time now, but not as long as some of you. And I had to go back and think about what it means to be a steward and a leader of a church. I've been serving on a board for a very, very long time, with maybe a little bit of reprieve here and there, but mostly on the board. And while decision making is not always an easy task, it is something that's required to do of people who serve. So I went back to look at stewardship and how it reflects with the church and what it meant within the Bible and the text of the Bible. And I went back, and it stewardship refers to taking care of God's household, meaning the church, meaning the earth, because everything that we have really isn't ours. It really is all God's. And so we are managers, and we are asked to be stewards, especially here at Glenshaw Valley. We each have talents, and we try to use them for serving our church family. And that's what I've tried to do for many years. While monetary gifts are important, they are not the only reason to be a good steward. Being asked to serve on a board should be considered an honor. Some people think that it's too time-consuming to be on a board, and that is somewhat true. It does take up some time, but it also gives you a good feeling to know that you're being asked your opinion. So here's a short list of some of the things that I've tried to do at Glenshaw Valley. Besides serving on the board, I've worked on various committees. I've served communion, I sing in the choir, sometimes play bells. Not always good, but I do. I've read scripture, which I am going to do in a few minutes. I've checked up on church members. I've helped keep the garden beds free from weeds with a lot of help from Carol. I've helped decorate and de-decorate this church for the holidays. I've worked to keep the church and the CE building useful and usable for groups and rentals. This is not a bragging list. This is just a little bit of what I or any person can do. The point is, more hands make less work. The session members are responsible for 9 or 10 areas that need constant attention, all of which are building related, property related, people related. Many times, each person on the session is a committee of one. That makes it a little tough. So please consider accepting a position when asked. The reason that I love helping out is because I love this church, and it makes me feel accomplished in leadership, and that is part of stewardship. If we were all faithful stewards, I believe that we will be fully rewarded in the next life. At the end of my life, I would love to hear these words from the book of Matthew. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness.
Thank you so much, Clara. You're absolutely right. Many hands do make light work. And those committees of one make it really hard for some folks, so, yeah. Jesus of Nazareth, in Scripture, we hear of a woman who gave her last coin away. You pointed her out, but you did not say, go and do likewise. Today, for her and for you, and for every person who cannot afford to give to God and put food on the table, we offer our gifts. Imagining God, use these gifts we offer for your good. Right what is wrong, balance the systems of injustice. Use these gifts to build the world that we can only imagine, but you can bring forth. In hope we pray. Amen.
This morning's scripture is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 through chapter 13, verse 2. From the New Revised Standard Version. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at the banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth about a penny. Then he called his disciples and he said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." And as some spoke at the temple how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, he said, "As for these things which we see, the days will come when there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." This is the word.
Please pray with me. Holy God, we want to see what you see. In this moment, we ask that you would clear the roadblocks that keep us from you. Blow the dust out of our ears. Thaw the frozen parts of our hearts. Breathe fresh air into our lungs and fill our minds with endless possibilities. We want to see what you see and reimagine this life we're living. Amen. You're probably thinking, yes, stewardship. We're going to hear this story, and Jesus is going to tell us to be like the poor widow and just give our last $2 away to Glenshaw Valley. I'm going to ask you to bear with me this morning, because this passage also has an entirely different side to it, and one that might challenge you to reimagine what Jesus was doing and saying. So here, Jesus is telling the disciples to beware of the scribes. Jesus isn't talking about all religious leaders. He's making a statement about these scribes. There are some scribes that are employed by wealthy aristocratic's patrons. And these types of scribes were much more interested in pleasing their benefactors than speaking and acting out God's truth. These were the ones who were being invited to these opulent banquets and wearing fashionable clothes, and they were much more interested in that than being with regular folks. And Jesus ends his description of these affluent scribes by stating that they devour widows' houses for the sake of appearance. And again, Jesus is not condemning all scribes and religious leaders, but there are enough of them who aren't just unconcerned about the struggles of everyday people, but are actively taking advantage of the vulnerable in order to obtain more wealth and power, prestige. And Jesus really feels the need to warn us about that. So right after he's, you know, talking about these folks that are, you know, just doing things for appearance, he sits down, makes himself comfortable. He's going to do a little people watching. It's one of my favorite activities, actually. And as he's sitting there across the way, he sees the treasury. It's not a building, it's like a box, really. And it's this box where people placed their temple taxes and their offerings, things like that. And Jesus sees all sorts of really wealthy people drop in large sums of money. These are people who have plenty of expendable income, so putting in $500, $1,000, $30,000, it doesn't really hurt them a whole lot. Anything that they drop in, it's just their extras. Like, these are people that have roofs over their heads, they've got full bellies, warm and dry clothes, and some of them have enough to purchase a rocket and take a trip out to space, or purchase their fourth yacht. Whatever they're dropping into the bucket, into the collection basket, it doesn't really affect their day-to-day lives at all. And then Jesus spots a widow. Her clothes are worn. Her sandals are in disrepair. Maybe her hair is a little unkempt. She's thin from missing a few meals. And you can just see the hardship just drawn all over her face. She digs deep into her purse. And finally, amongst the gum wrappers, she finds a couple of coins. She sighs deeply as she considers what to do with her limited funds. Should she use them to purchase some flour and oil? Maybe she can have another meal. Maybe she could buy some wool and maybe make her own wool blanket. It might be enough to fix her shoes, but rent will be due next week. It doesn't really matter, though. This won't be enough to satisfy the landlord. So The woman knows she has an obligation to pay her temple taxes, and she doesn't want to anger God, or worse, the religious leaders. So she takes these coins that she's clutching, and she drops the ridiculously meager amount into the box. And Jesus can't help but to point out to the disciples that those coins don't make that satisfying clink as they do in a box, because there's all of these wads of paper money that soften the blow. They mute the widow's contribution, even though what she put in was everything that she had. I cannot count the number of sermons that I have heard or read that point to this woman as an example for all of us, because she gave up necessities in order to finance the institutional church. But you know what I don't read here? I don't see Jesus commending this woman for her willingness to give up everything to God. I see him commenting on the social conditions that have created her poverty. By giving to the treasury, the rich were fulfilling their responsibilities so that the widow didn't have to. Actually, widows weren't required to give to the temple. Widows and the continually dispossessed, they were cared for through the safety nets that were created by and through the treasury. But those systems weren't working. They needed reimagining. The widow gives all that she has in an effort to be faithful, and the system fails her. This story of the widow reminds me of the orphan crushing machine. It's a phenomenon on the internet. It's a metaphor. It's not a real, actual orphan crushing machine. Don't worry. We see these heartwarming news stories about someone taking care of the immediate effects of some sort of issue, while at the same time ignoring the root cause of that issue. It started with a post on Twitter that says, "Every heartwarming human interest story in America is like, he raised $200,000 to keep 200 orphans from being crushed in the orphan crushing machine, and then never asks why an orphan crushing machine exists or why you'd need to prevent it from being used." Every time I hear this metaphor, or ever since I first heard of this metaphor, I see it like everywhere that I look. There are so many good feeling stories about community benefits that raise hundreds of thousands of dollars to pay for someone's cancer treatment. Makes us feel good, right? But in those stories, there's no discussion of why that treatment is so prohibitively expensive in the first place. Recently, I saw a video of a school safety training. Teachers were learning how to use chairs, classroom chairs, to lock the door to prevent a shooter from coming in to kill the children. And there were all sorts of comments about how important this information is and how many lives it could save. But there wasn't a whole lot of conversation about why someone would need to know how to make a door impenetrable in the first place. You know, because of the very real threat of an active shooter in a school, or how easily accessible firearms are. I also think about our congregation and our community. We here at Glenshaw Valley, we have collected money and food for the Aetna Food Bank. The most recent information I could find for the Aetna Food Pantry shows that they served over 2,500 people, including 242 veterans, 530 disabled people, 740 senior citizens. Obviously, this is a very worthwhile organization. It provides basic needs for people in our community right here, and we should be proud to support them with what we can. We really should. We also have government benefits. There's SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Plan, food stamps. Those are available to help feed those in poverty. In 2022, 4.1 million people in the U.S. were on SNAP. 43% of those were children. Between 14 and 16% of all Pennsylvanians receive SNAP benefits. So we've got these programs that are feeding people, right? So why hasn't hunger been eliminated? Why are there still hungry people? Why are we still celebrating saving orphans from the orphan crushing machine? Well, it's because the causes of hunger are much, much deeper than the immediate need that we're attempting to address. Poverty, climate change, war, unstable markets, job instability, low wages, race and gender inequality, all of those things contribute to hunger right here and across the globe. So I participate with organizations like Bread for the World. Bread for the World does some advocacy work. They advocate for school lunch and breakfast programs, WIC, the child tax credit. We work together and we write and visit with legislators about these issues of poverty, and we urge our representatives to support just policies. Right now, Bread for the World is working on support for the passage of a Fair Farm Bill to build healthy, equitable, and sustainable food systems here in the United States. But not just in the U.S., but throughout the world, Bread for the World is working to dismantle the orphan crushing machines. And I will be talking more about these efforts in the future, and I will be providing you opportunities to get involved as well. Don't worry, it won't take a lot of time. I'll even have pre-written letters for you. I want to make sure that I'm being very clear here. Food banks and other organizations that directly serve people in need are not bad. Donating to these people are very much needed. The orphan crushing machines still exist, and there are still people in danger of being crushed. And if we can help save them, that immediate need, yes, let's do that in light of all of this. As you continue to pray and discern your pledges this stewardship season, I want you to consider your economic position. If you are in a precarious situation, if you are finding it difficult to keep food on your table, your house warm, or your lights on, do not give to this church or any other organization. Don't give us your last two coins. There are plenty of other ways to be faithful to God and to participate in the life of this church and community that does not involve becoming destitute. This morning, I'm asking you to reimagine the way this scripture has been used in the past. To reimagine a world where our social and economic systems are not built to disparage and to impoverish, but to provide for and benefit everyone. To reimagine what it means to engage financially with Glenshaw Valley in a more personal way. To reimagine a relationship with money where it's used to repair rather than provide security and stability to institutions. Amen? Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, Day is Done. Before we go back into the world, let me offer a charge and a benediction. Let us go from this place, reimagining the places we see Jesus Christ, God with us and for us. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the companionship of the Holy Spirit be with you and abide in you this day and forevermore. Amen.